Hi, this is Blaine Parker. Thanks for joining me and Honey Parker in the Big Bad Branding Teleseminars. What you're about to hear is a replay of the third teleseminar, Seven Mistakes to Avoid, originally recorded on Wednesday, June 12th, 2013.
Welcome to the third in the Bigger, Badder Branding Teleseminar series. This is Seven Expensive Mistakes to Avoid. And before we get into the meat of the teleseminar, we have a question from Juliana. And Juliana's question was, when doing investigation on a new name, where other than typing in the domain name should I look? And what exactly am I looking for other than the same domain name? Okay, this is going to sound like an obnoxious answer. Everything and anything. You have to do extreme due diligence.
You can't just say, is anybody using this website? I would Google every part of your name and see who else is using that word and what it's for.
We had a client we had to rename, and naming them was insanely difficult.
They're in a tough category.
Yeah, I mean, it took us a week before we got, a solid work before we got down to a list of names that we felt were doable and usable, because there were so many great names were taken, and permutations of names and almost things you never would have thought of.
Oh, we got to the point where we weren't even taking our own advice. We were just, what are words we could put together and see if they existed in this category, and everything we came up with, we were like, blue hairy monkey, and it was taken.
And we were actually making up words. You know, we were taking, like, two words that would make sense and put them together, and we find even some of those were taken. Look for anything that you think might be remotely associated with the name you're trying to use. Due diligence is really important. And to give you an idea, this one client that we had such a difficult name time naming, we actually got to the point where we believed we absolutely had what we needed. And we went to do a trademark registration, which we do not normally do. And it turns out there was somebody else who had a similar name. And their category was similar, but not exactly the same, at least based on the information that we found in the trademark search. So we went and applied for a trademark, and we were rejected. And it turns out between the time we actually came up with the name and the time we filed for the trademark, this person who had been sitting on the name for years and hadn't done anything suddenly put up a website, and they were doing exactly what we were talking about doing. It's like, So this is just an extreme case. This is unlikely to happen to anyone who's on this call. But just bear in mind that you never know who's out there doing what.
Yeah, I mean, some categories are more crowded than others. Naming an ad agency, I don't recommend it.
No.
There are a million names out there. Anyway, so that's a long answer to your short question.
Yes, the short answer, do extensive due diligence and Google anything you can think of.
Yeah.
Okay, so on to seven expensive mistakes to avoid.
And just to let you know, there's probably a few more than seven, but we call them like 3A and 3B.
Well, you know, I was going to get to that. The list has actually grown since it was seven. So when you get to we'll deal with that as we reach them.
And first, the reason that we talk about things, mistakes to avoid, are because they're expensive. And, you know, if you're an enormous company, if you're Delta, and you make a mistake, you probably have it in the bank to cover it. But if you're a small business, mistakes are really expensive. And these are mistakes that happen a lot. So if we can just kill the chance of them happening right now, everybody's going to save a lot of money, and that's incredibly important.
Just to underscore something Honey said, I would argue that GEICO makes a ton of mistakes in their advertising. But when you spend $500 million a year on media, you can really pretty much make any mistakes you want, and it doesn't matter, because you're endlessly throwing money at the problem. So mistake number one is an interesting one. This is a new one for the seven expensive mistakes to avoid teleseminar. Mistake number one is it's in the area of names, and it isn't always expensive, but it's always definitely challenging. And this is going to sound like a contradiction, but when you're naming your business, don't be too poetic, and don't be too literal. Now, as an example,
I'd like to throw in, this is kind of the combo of name and tagline.
Okay, fine, we can accept that.
Thank you for accepting.
And judges were okay with that. So don't be too poetic and don't be too literal. An example would be Angie's competition. Angie has sent us a study of who her competition is. And I was looking at these names. There's one I love because it's so dead flat-footed. Capital Recovery Services Environmental Waste Auditing. Well, boy, that's emotionally evocative, isn't it?
Boy, I know what they do, and boy, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is you do know what they do. At least there's that. But I would say it's just a little bit too literal.
Yeah, but don't be so on the nose.
Yeah, who knows when they actually got into the business. They might have been the only game in town when this, you know, they started. But, you know, conversely, there is another business called Recycleholics. And I'm going, well, that's a little too poetic, as in it's too clever. And on top of that, the joke of anything a holic in the 21st century is not only politically incorrect, but it's way, way past its prime. So I could take them to task for that. Who knows how they're doing? You know, if somebody's successful with the name, well, hey, God bless you. But here's another example. We have a client whose business name is LEM, and it doesn't mean anything to anyone except the guy who started the company. It's just dead flat. It doesn't make you feel anything, and you almost don't even want to ask what it means. You know, it's boy, it's uninteresting. So try not to do something that's really leaden like that. Don't be afraid to be poetic, or don't be afraid to be too literal. Do what makes sense. You know, if we look at Matt Wolf Custom Finishes, which everybody saw in Los Angeles, it's a literal name, but it also makes sense.
And it's paired with a tagline that's got more poetry to it, which is, it's not just paint, it's how you
right.
look. So, you know, and one of the reasons we're saying this is we're starting to get names from people. People are throwing names past us and saying, what do you think? And there's, and it happens to everybody, but people tend to be just too literal, you know, or stuck in this rut of what you think you have to say, and we just get like 25 permutations of the same thing.
You know, and one of the reasons Matt Wolf Custom Finishes makes sense, despite being literal, I mean, the tagline is great. It's not just paint, it's how you look. And you're also dealing with an artist whose name is Matt Wolf. So there's kind of a prestige factor at work here.
And also, it's custom finishes and not house painting.
Now, conversely, we look at Dr. Sam's Eye Care. There really isn't any prestige going on here. And again, it's very literal, and it's also really perfect for a no-nonsense, straight-speaking persona speaking to a no-nonsense, straight-speaking customer.
Yeah, but we took him away from that really hard, I don't care literal of United Eye Care Specialists. So we made him a person.
Yeah, it was literal without making any sense.
Well, we didn't make him a person. The parents made him a person.
I should say United Eye Care Specialist.
We made him personable.
Yeah, I got the joke. But United Eye Care Specialist was very literal while not making any sense. I mean, there was no reason for it to be United. You know, it just the name had no connection to anything other than, hey, that sounds like a name. Now, conversely, let's look at Salt Dental Practice Management. Savor Success. It's poetic, and it makes sense. The name is entirely metaphorical, and it just works with the tagline. You know, another one is Fearless Development. We talked briefly about this in the last one. They're a software development company. Now, when you get right down to it, it certainly isn't literal. I mean, there's nothing fearless about writing code, but it speaks to the kind of approach they take when they're dealing with your problem as somebody who needs to hire an offshore software development company.
Well, they really focused on how they wanted people to feel. And so it's Fearless Development. We see your vision and raise it. So they knew they were dealing with people who were working in the realm of something that hadn't existed before. Now, it might be something really techie that hadn't existed before, but it's still, you're taking a chance anytime you're doing something that somebody else didn't lay the groundwork for. So there is a level of fearlessness involved in it, and it also is a compliment recognizing that quality in somebody.
Now, all this to say, when you're trying to come up with a name, don't be afraid of going way off the map and towards the edge of the earth. You know, you won't fall over. And in the end, you're going to have a list of 100, 200, however many names you've got. Ultimately, pick one that makes sense and do what you can live up to. You know, SALT would have scared the crap out of a lot of people. Dr. Sam, I don't think, could have stomached it. But Lenora Milligan immediately understood it and embraced it.
Yeah. Now, Elizabeth's a CPA. There are a lot of areas to go that most people wouldn't think of in that category because people are very...
I'd say it's probably a very literal category.
Literal. And depending on the kind of client you're dealing with, you may be able to get much more intriguing and stand out by name alone.
Mm. Interesting. All right. So mistake number one, the new mistake, names. Mistake number two.
This is my favorite mistake on the whole list.
Well, it's the most fun, I think, because it's the easiest to make fun of.
And this is when you get into your marketing.
We mentioned this in Kill Your Advertising. I believe we also address it in Billion Dollar Branding.
And we talk about it at least 5 times a week.
Yes, we do. We do it in the car when we're riding and we hear something on the radio. Mistake number two is using ad speak. Anyone who's gotten to the Kill Your Advertising section on the Dan O'Day Bad Commercial Generator, it's a lot of fun. You know, if you haven't gotten there yet, you go to Dan's website and you have a bunch of blanks that you fill in, and it writes you a bad commercial using phrases like friendly trained staff, conveniently located at,
family-owned,
phone numbers with no purpose,
where quality matters.
Yeah, actually, I love this one. We have a local cabinet maker who, on the side of his truck, it says in big letters, "When quality counts." When doesn't it count? And what quality exactly? Good quality, bad quality, excellent, shoddy? You know, it's completely ad speak and really means nothing.
Yeah, it seems like we're all about you.
Yeah, well, that's my favorite. The disingenuous BS tagline. Yes, we're all about you. And, of course, our perennial favorite for all your widget needs.
Yeah, widget can be replaced with anything. You've heard it a million times. You know, yeah. For all your teeth cleaning needs, you know, for all your toilet cleaning needs.
I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again just to underscore, and it's so much fun to say. Excuse me. I listened to an underwriting break on the local listener-supported radio station, and three in a row for all your plumbing needs, for all your financial planning needs, and for all your family law needs.
Okay, so the reason we call this ad speak is because this is the kind of verbiage that you hear only in advertising. You never hear it in real life. And here's a big problem with it. Because we hear it so much that when we hear it, we literally don't hear it. You tune out because nobody's saying anything that stands out to your ear. So you've taken the time to create a communication, you've spent the money on that communication, and what you're doing is telling people it's not important to listen because you haven't said anything that anybody else isn't saying.
Now, the solution to ad speak is knowing your brand and using that to inform what you say. And when you speak to your customer, do it in the language of your customer. We've said this before. Write it as if you're speaking to a friend.
Yeah, when you're speaking to a friend, I guarantee you, you've never told them that
conveniently located it?
That you have a friendly trained staff. I mean, think about the specifics of the words for a second. Friendly trained staff, who wouldn't train their staff? I mean, if you have to say that, really, it's the price of admission. Train your people.
You know, I've earlier mentioned Robbins Brothers Jewelers, who went from being just a jewelry store to the engagement ring specialists. And, you know, think about who's typically buying an engagement ring. The core customer is probably in mid-20s. He's a guy. Excuse me. I mean, froggy throat. And everything in their communications speaks to that customer to the point where if a guy goes to Robbins Brothers to buy an engagement ring and he goes to the men's room, there is a sign over the urinal that says, "Run. Here's your chance.
Nice.
Get out now while you can. Quick, look for a window or the ventilation shaft." It goes on for like 150 words explaining how he can get out of this, but ultimately implying why would you want to. And as far as speaking in the language of the customer, they've taken it to an extreme where they have an electronic billboard in Los Angeles in their Share the Love campaign where they actually use language of their customers from their Facebook posts. These Facebook posts appear on the billboard.
Yeah, and by the way, these are things that you shouldn't do, but something you can do and something you might want to consider doing is if you have testimonials, if people have tweeted to you about your product or service, that might be something viable to use in your marketing. It's real. Nobody can argue with it.
Yep.
Chances are nobody tweeted you and said, wow, I'm very glad that you're conveniently located. That really fed all my CPA needs.
Feeded. I like that.
Well, nobody's saying that.
One of my favorite sources of inspiration for writing copy is love letters from happy customers.
Yeah.
And you can find hidden gems in there. And even if you don't quote them directly, you can often find the basis for some good advertising copy and those kinds of things.
And it pulls you out of ad speak. The other reason people use ad speak is it's kind of the mistake they know. You know, like, well, truly, because you hear it all the time, and even if somebody says to you, well, that doesn't make you stand out, the trap that people fall into is they'll say, yeah, but you know what? They're all doing it.
You know
I
what
think
it
I'm
is?
Just going to do it. It's a fear of standing out.
I'll tell you what it is. It sounds like an advertisement.
And bet.
Here's what I'm going to guarantee you. Nobody at Motel 6 was ever afraid of sounding like an advertisement because they know exactly who they're talking to. They always use folksy language about staying at Motel 6, and it's spoken in the voice of a guy who sounds like he should be staying at Motel 6. It will never sound like an advertisement.
Yeah. So basically the message here is don't be afraid to sound like yourself. Don't be afraid to say something that nobody else is saying because
yeah.
you will stand out.
Don't be afraid to sound like your brand, I guess it makes
yeah.
sense. Okay, mistake number 3. Are we ready? Using the wrong media. Social media is king. It's free. Everybody's on Facebook. Use social media. You don't need to buy traditional advertising anymore. Well, tell you what, if you're trying to reach my mother-in-law, social media is useless. You still need to buy traditional advertising.
And please, don't think that we're saying don't use social media. We love social media. It's free.
Love free.
But if your audience isn't there, then you have to be other places as well.
Yeah. You know, and once you know whom you're talking to, you know how to find him or her.
Yeah. I mean, part of creating your brand is really understanding who you're talking to. And this is another reason why that serves you well. You not only understand what to say to them, but you understand where they are and when they're receptive to a message like you have.
You know, everybody knows by now that I love radio. And this is a mistake that happens in radio all the time. Advertisers will constantly buy stations that they like instead of buying stations that make sense. You know, if you're advertising a retirement home, putting it on Radio Disney probably doesn't make a lot of sense. The core customer is in elementary school. You know, mom might be listening, but there's a good chance her mother probably still has a job.
Mom probably tuned out.
Yeah. you know, you're much better putting that commercial for the retirement home on a talk radio station or a music of your life station or someplace where you know that person who is interested in a retirement home is going to be. You know, you have to buy media that makes sense. And that can mean it has the right audience. It also can mean that you can afford to buy it.
That's a big thing because another trap that people fall into is, well, I'll run my ad once or I'll run my ad 3 times and I'll use the money from that to pay for the rest of it. It doesn't work that way. You know, as we've talked about this before, the job of your brand is to go out in the world and make friends. And if you think about how you make friends, you don't meet somebody the first time and say, oh my gosh, they're my best friend in the world. No, you've got to meet them a bunch of times, and then you find you have things in common and things like that. And that's going to happen with your brand. So people need to encounter it a whole bunch of times before they say, gosh, I think I like them. And then on top of that, I mean, you're not just making friends. You have to wait them out to where they not only like you, but they're ready to buy into your service. So if you can't afford to run your radio ad for 4 months, then don't run your radio ad.
If the media budget is going to bankrupt you, it's the wrong media budget.
And there are so many other things you can do. I mean, I just joked about this with Blaine, but you know, and I'm not saying that somebody should put on a sandwich board and walk up and down the street, but gosh, it's free. You know, so are there things that you can do that are, you know, experiential marketing? Can you put flyers up at the gym? Is what you do, you know, where are your people? Where do they gather? Is there something that you can put in that space that's not going to cost you a lot of money? You slowly build that way, and then you say, you know what, I could run a radio spot for 6 months. Then that's when you should do it.
Now, especially when we're talking about paid media you have to buy, be careful about where people are telling you that you should be. You know, for Dr. Sam, we very easily could have followed, you know, blindly followed the path to social media. But we did research and found out that his potential customers weren't there. You know, a lot of his neighboring businesses were using social media, and we could tell it just wasn't paying off. There wasn't anybody paying attention. Now, the best social media for him was YouTube. And we were able to take his commercials and his radio interviews and very simply put them up on YouTube as videos with, you know, titles and stills and things like that. And that was really useful because it fed into the web crawlers. You know, Google especially likes YouTube because, guess what, they own YouTube. Now, we ran Dr. Sam on a country music station because all of his patients were saying they love this country music station and he should advertise there. Here's what we found out. It didn't pay off. We eventually pulled off of the country music station, but we kept him on a talk station that almost nobody had ever mentioned because it was affordable and it was demonstrating huge impact, despite the fact nobody was telling us that they listened to it.
And, you know, Blaine just said something. He used the A word, affordable. There are times where if once you know exactly who your customer is, then look at if you think you want to deal with something more traditional like radio or like newspaper, are there buys, you know, is there a radio station that's very particular? So it's not – basically what I'm saying is you don't have to buy on the Super Bowl. You know, there are much less expensive buys where you can have more frequency and you can matter more and be more of a friend.
Yeah, I'm also going to throw in a little sidebar here. I have a preference for talk radio for a lot of advertising. It obviously depends on who the advertiser is. But here's the thing about talk radio is it's an audience that's engaged in paying attention. You know, we just mentioned Dr. Sam. We also had a dental implant clinic in Phoenix who we put on an oldies station because everyone's saying, this is the station. And it wasn't. It was not paying off. There was almost zero response from people who were listening to the oldies station. But once again, the talk station with the right demographic for our core customer really seemed to pull really well. Now, you know, looking at another medium, newspaper. If you're going to be a newspaper, make sure people are reading it. You know, I am never going to say that traditional media is dead. Yes, it's going through an upheaval. Yes, it has problems. But it's far from dead. That said, there are certain publications that really ought to be dead, and they are in the throes of getting there.
Yeah, and, you know, some people on this call are in a physical location or are going to have branches in a physical location. Some locations are just more expensive than others. If you want to buy the LA Times, that's insanely expensive. But if you're in an area like we're in Park City, they have one newspaper, it's the only game in town, and everybody reads it. If you have a local business, it's a good buy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the right business, that advertising that newspaper is gold.
Yeah.
You know, Park City has a population of 7,000. I believe the surrounding two counties has a total population of 40,000. I don't know what the circulation of the paper is. But it works like crazy if you do it properly. And again, make sure that, you know, the person you're trying to reach is looking at the medium you're trying to use. You know, if you're advertising retirees, there's a good chance they're not on Twitter. You know, but there's a very good chance that they might be on Facebook. It's going to depend on who you're trying to reach and what you're trying to say to them.
Yeah, I mean, we do work for the Standing O Project. It's music based. Twitter is really big for them. I mean, we get all kinds of conversations going. It makes sense for them. And
yeah.
It's free.
You know, something that always amazes me is we watch a lot of the Food Network. And it kills me. I'm constantly seeing commercials for Dairy Queen or processed frozen foods because somebody out there is going, hey, the Food Network, let's advertise our food, even if it's the wrong kind of food. I mean, call me crazy. Those don't seem like products that should speak, that would be speaking to the Food Network demographic, which presumably is a relatively foodie demographic. Now, I could be wrong. You know, I'm not the guy buying that media. They might know something I do, but I guarantee you, Dairy Queen is not reaching me with the Food Network.
Yeah, and just to, one more point on, you know, if you think you want to get into local television, things like that, you know, we've talked about Alpha Male, who's part of this group. So they might say, okay, well, our core customer is a 40-year-old male, and they watch Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is really expensive, but my guess is there's a good group of them that are watching a fishing show or something like that that's a lot less expensive where you can get a lot of frequency and a lot more bang for your buck.
Or here's an idea. You could conceivably buy a local cable spot buy in Monday Night Football. You know, that's possible. And you also have local, like we have a local sports show on Sunday night after the evening news, talking sports.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of thing that I'm sure is hugely affordable for someone like that.
And, of course, for everybody, YouTube is free, and you should all be on it, every single person on this call.
Yes, YouTube is a boon.
Yeah. All right, Mistake 3.5.
This segues nicely into Mistake 3.5, which is being silly in social media. Don't be silly in social media. Social media is a conversation.
Yeah, so social media is free. So obviously, in some capacity, all of us should take advantage of it. But what you need to be doing is offering people something in social media and not something where you would ever say something like, you have a rare opportunity for this limited spec. That's really silly.
No,
you know, everything that we do, like for the Standing O Project, which is music, I post a lot about upcoming shows. Here's where all the festivals are going to be. This featured artist is playing here. It's really helpful information for people who are into music, and we're just being a music pal. We're being the best source for where's a good show.
We're having a dialogue, and we're being useful.
So what can you say about your business in your category that would help somebody?
You know, one of our favorite social media brands is Will It Blend, which is an excellent study in how to create a social media juggernaut. Their YouTube channel is great. But here's the thing. If you look at the Will It Blend Facebook page, it's very different than the YouTube channel. You know, they're not just jokey about blending things that shouldn't be blended, like a 2x4 or
really
an iPhone. They don't tell people to buy the blender. They're actually offering recipes and advice, and they're having conversations with people. They're engaging their consumer. And I got to say, that is probably really, really necessary, because who out there is ready to plunk down several hundred dollars for a blender?
Well, that's back to what we talked about before with not only are you making friends, but you have to stay friends until somebody's ready to buy what you're selling. So just don't turn anybody off by being too silly in social media, because even though it's free, it's expensive to lose your fan base.
Okay. Mistake number 4. This is a fun one. Falling in love with your own stuff.
And you all start to experience this as you start to come up with names and taglines.
That or you'll hate everything, which is a whole other problem. Falling in love with your own stuff was a biggie. And surprisingly, this actually happens a lot with professional writers, especially the less mature ones. The thing to do when you're writing material to advertise your own business, never believe that what you have just written is either brilliant or that's the last good thing you'll ever write.
And that's really important, because I think that a lot of people tend to hold on to what they did because there's a fear that the well is now empty. You know, boy, I did this really good thing, and there will never be anything else. And the truth is, there's always something else. I mean, we're just wired for there always to be something else. I mean, you can't walk down the street without having a random thought.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you've written something and you believe it's the last good thing ever and you've shown it to some people and people are telling you, I don't know, If enough people give you the same feedback, there's a challenge. Believe them. You know, that's not to say they're necessarily right, but definitely take it into consideration. You know, you have to be very careful with your own.
Well, the other challenge that sometimes happens, you know, when you're falling in love with your own stuff, it can sometimes mean that you're talking to yourself, and it may be.
What's wrong with that? I do it all the time.
It doesn't really help you sell anything.
Oh, so, is that why I'm not selling anything?
Well, so just kind of be aware of that. I mean, this really is an exercise in humility. So even though you're entertaining yourself, you may not be entertaining your audience.
Yeah. And also, you know, you may have truly created something brilliant. This happens. I hate it when it happens, but it does happen. You're finding that producing it is turning out to be less than brilliant. If it doesn't work, if something you've written doesn't work, whether it's radio, it's TV, it's print, it's YouTube, whatever it is, if it's not working and it's not going to work, you got to be brave enough to let it die.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've never been on a television shoot where at the shoot we didn't change something. Because on paper, in two dimension, it worked. And then when we started shooting in three dimension, it didn't. And we all thought it would. So what you do is you keep your knees bent and you absorb the shock of it and you do something else.
Yeah, you know, ultimately, falling in love with your own stuff can make life very difficult. And when you do acknowledge that there's going to be more, it becomes much easier to let go of something that you thought was
the... Yeah, I mean, give yourself a break. You will come up with other ideas.
It happens to us all the time. You know,
it happens to you.
Yeah, not you.
Yeah.
Because you're perfect. No, but we've come up with things that... Honey has created things that I thought were brilliant. Oh, the client's going to love this. The logo is great. And the client sees and goes, no. And, you know, we have to walk away going, okay, well, we knew it was brilliant.
I would tell the truth. I mean, I've come up with stuff, and Blaine's walked in and said, no.
Yeah. Have I done that?
Today, actually.
I didn't say, no, did I?
Anyway, you have to be able to move on.
Okay. Speaking of moving on, that takes us to mistake number 5, too little media. This really goes for both traditional and non-traditional media. Now, with traditional media, if you're buying any kind of advertising space, you need to make sure that you buy enough of it. And as a general rule, again, going back to radio because it's an easy example, and we've all had radio in our lives, as a general rule, I don't let clients buy any less radio than 3 spots a day in the same day part from Monday through Friday.
Explain what a day part is.
A day part is a morning drive, usually 6 to 9 or 6 to 10, depending on your radio station. Middays will be 10 to 2.
So basically the point is you're hitting the same audience.
Yeah. So, you know, say 3 spots in middays, 5 days a week, that is really good frequency, and enough of the same people will hear you over and over again that it's going to register and they'll eventually respond, assuming you've done everything else right. There are exceptions to this. There are different kinds of stunts that you can pull. You run, you know, one commercial 3 times every day part, all day Monday, advertising an Act Now special or something like that. But as a general rule, 3 spots a day in the same day part Monday through Friday. And you need to buy enough media so it's going to have an impact. This is one of the things in radio that's maybe crazy. I know it happens in print, too. A test of one insertion or a test of one spot on a Monday is a test of nothing. And here's one of the biggest challenges we used to face in Los Angeles. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. There's a station there called KFI, which has the interesting claim to fame of having the single largest cumulative listenership of any radio station in the nation. There are more people listening to that station than any other station anywhere. And they're notorious for telling a hesitant advertiser, well, look, why don't you just run the commercial once on Monday and see what you think? And, of course, they run it once on Monday, and the phone rings like 100 times because of its... the huge size of their audience. And the guy goes, wow, this is great. It's a money machine, and ends up buying a schedule. And, of course, it never actually works out that well because the first time you've grabbed all the low-hanging fruit and then you're back to having to build, you know, response over time. But Yeah, testing something once doesn't work. If you're going to buy a print campaign, you have to buy it with enough frequency that the ad will actually start to matter to people.
Yeah, I mean, if you're buying an ad, it's just not going to work. Again, the law of friendships. And the what we want to avoid through all of this is wasting money. You'd be better off running no ads
than buying one ad. Yeah. You know, you need to be there in their faces, reminding them who you are and what you do and why you matter to them. Now, if you're going to be doing free media like Facebook or Twitter, be there all the time. Now, these numbers that I'm about to quote you, they tend to change over time. In fact, they've changed over the last year. Right now, there's a belief that 4 to 5 tweets a day is necessary for people to notice you. However, if you start digging into this, not even deeply, just scratch the surface, you're going to start finding complex formulas that are going to tell you things like, well, you should tweet twice an hour during your targeted users' peak hours and once per hour during off-peak. We're not going to be solving this challenge here. But just suffice it to say that you have to be active. I have actually gone from being an inveterate Twitter user to a lousy Twitter user. Now I'm only on a couple of times a week, if that. But slow burn marketing is there constantly. You know, that's what really matters, is that slow burn is out there posting things that need to be posting it.
And striking a balance is important. I mean, we talk about Twitter and Facebook a lot because they're the social networks that most people know. I mean, there are other free social networks out there as well. But these are the two most popular ones, and they work differently. For clients, we tweet a lot more than we post on Facebook. We find that 2 posts a day on Facebook really are fine. Sometimes 3 if something comes up that's really worth sharing. And if it's worth sharing, people are going to be happy you did it. But the problem with Facebook is if you post 10 times a day on Facebook, you're going to annoy people. And that is not what you want to do.
Yeah. Interestingly, by the way, just to back up for a second to Twitter, if anybody is puzzled by Twitter, and I know a lot of people are, here's the thing that actually changed Twitter for me. I was convinced I had to be on Twitter. This is years ago, by a guy we know who is an Uber geek. Actually, is an engineer who has become a professor at USC. He teaches kids in the popular music program how to produce music. But yeah, he got me onto Twitter, and I couldn't figure out what the hell to do with it. But one day, somebody explained that Twitter is a microblog, and all of a sudden, a light went on. Well, I know what a blog is. A blog is a newsy little item that I post on my blog site and people read it and comment on it. And if you look at Twitter as a blog, if you've been mystified by it, if you look at it as a blog, you start to get a different perspective on it, what people are doing, and how it is you should be communicating there. And it is also a great place to start dialogue. You know, and it definitely is a different kind of a dialogue than you're going to find on Facebook. Now, with Facebook, if you're posting only twice a week or less than that, nobody is going to notice you.
You're not wasting money, but you're wasting time.
Yeah. But if you post more than twice a day, you start running into a problem that Honey just mentioned, and that's if you annoy people. If you post too much, people will start to ignore you. You have to find a balance. I actually know somebody who must post, I have never counted, but I'm guessing 30 or 40 times a day. And I'll just skim over all the posts because I know most of them aren't going to mean anything. Now, a dear friend, but I'm not paying attention. You have to find a balance with the amount of posting you do. Going back to traditional media for a moment, newspaper is indeed still viable. But like everything else we mentioned, if you're going to be buying it, you have to buy enough of it. If you can't afford to be in every issue or most of the issues, consider buying something else. Like if you really think you need to be in the paper, think about doing something like a business listing back in the classifieds. You know, those little business card-sized ads can often pay off really well for the right business. I actually, there's a guy in L.A. who I think is a genius marketer. I know a lot of people find his business model utterly disgusting. He is an attorney who specializes in DUI. And he is the Top Gun DUI attorney. That is his brand. And I can tell you, every time I was in the living section and flipping through there and I came to the business listings, I saw his face staring at me from the same location in that little grid of business card-sized advertisements. And it was a really powerful placement for him, especially when it was combined with his other media. He was a relentless radio advertiser, and he knew what resonated with his core customer and what he had to say to them. Whatever you do, whatever media you choose, there are two key concepts. One is frequency, and the other is commitment. And radio is especially filled with the remnants of advertisers who couldn't commit, and they walked away saying radio doesn't work. Well, that's patently untrue. We can prove it. But what doesn't work is a half-hearted effort. You need to jump into whatever medium you're using with both feet. You really got to do it. And you also have to be able to afford it. You know, make sure that if you don't have a response for 3 months, it isn't going to sink your business.
Yeah, you shouldn't be thinking of throwing up every night, because I've got to call you.
I can't tell you how much I hated hearing a client say, I'm hemorrhaging money. And I'd heard that more than once, because an account rep who wasn't really paying attention didn't realize that the guy couldn't afford to be buying a schedule that made sense. And I've heard it more than once. I am hemorrhaging money, and that's just awful. You know, it's not a mistake you want to make. Which takes us to
another mistake you don't want to make.
Another mistake number six. Mistake number six is not focusing. What were you talking about? Focusing.
Mm.
Okay, this goes actually for brand as well as for advertising and even social media posts. You got to focus on one thing. We've already emphasized this with brand.
Yeah,
you got to focus.
One is our favorite number.
One.
In everything.
The woman who came up to me after the GBS presentation and said, yes, I know you said I have to focus on one thing, but can't I sell feather jewelry and health supplements under the same brand? It's like, well, no.
but also in your marketing, you can't tell people everything about what you do in one communication, no matter what that communication is, if it's a YouTube video, if it's a national television spot. If you talk about too many things, if you can't focus, then either can your audience. You know, if Blaine and I were each to do a 30-second commercial selling you on slow burn marketing, and he spent that 30-minute commercial telling you 30 different things about slow burn marketing, and I spent that 30-second commercial telling you one thing about slow burn marketing, it's pink. But one thing,
really?
Over and over and over again, what are you going to remember? If you tell people too many things, they hear nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, lack of focus is not unique to small business advertising. You know, Honey just said national TV spot. There is actually a national chain of Italian restaurants that came to us when I was in radio. And they insisted, I couldn't believe I was reading this, they insisted the commercial was going to be, and I quote, 60% dine-in, 30% takeout, and 10% about the new cookbook.
Which means it's 0% effective.
And I said that to the account rep, and he said, yeah, I know. It's not going to work. But he said he couldn't talk to the marketing manager because they knew how it was going to be. They were a big national restaurant chain, and this is how we were going to do it. You know, essentially, they saw their radio commercial like everything else in their business. They saw it as a restaurant menu, which somebody can sit down and look at and scan and decide where they want to go, and they can make a choice from a variety of selections. An advertisement doesn't work that way. You know, here's the caveat. If you're a car dealer and you're advertising 50 used cars, well, you can probably get away with it because that's the model. But for anyone who's on this call.
Yeah, I wouldn't look for a caveat in anything. I would stick to the rules. You have a much better chance of being incredibly successful.
Look at what Alpha Male Supplement grew out of. It grew out of a menu of health supplements. There was pretty much anything for anybody there. You know, if you go to the original website before they hit on Alpha Male Supplements, you can find almost anything, but it's not an arrow. It doesn't pierce any particular individual's consciousness and psyche. So focus is key. But also make sure you're focusing on the right thing for your brand. I love this. This happened to me last year about this time. I got an ad in my email celebrating National Barbecue Month. Okay, I am an inveterate griller of meat. The idea of National Barbecue Month really appealed to me. And this was trying to sell me on the idea of essentials for a successful barbecue. Now, this ad might have made sense if it came to me from Costco or Walmart or a local purveyor of barbecue stuff. It came to me from Staples, the office superstore. You know, the reason they were saying this is because they sell big jugs of pretzels, they sell solo cups, and they sell folding tables, which really doesn't matter to me in National Barbecue Month. You know, I'd like to know who the marketing genius was that came up with that and how it paid off. To mistake 6.5. Number 6.5 is selling what you're not.
And the reason that falls under focus is it makes it virtually impossible for people to focus on you.
Yeah. One of the biggest problems regarding focus, it comes when there's comedy in the equation usually. You see this all the time, and you even see it in big national advertising campaigns constantly on TV. Hey, this is funny. Here's what happens when you use the other guy's products. Wah, wah. And then they make the illustration of the problem really vivid, and they never focus on anything remotely that vivid for the solution.
And here's a really crummy thing that can happen if you focus on what you're not by pointing out the competition is every once in a while you end up doing an ad for the competition.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah. So instead of focusing on what you're not, why don't you celebrate what you are?
Oh, that's a good one. Celebrate what you are.
Yeah, and that's not to say that somebody couldn't find a way to make the other one work, but again, let's play the odds. Let's know where the biggest chance of success is and just stay there. Because your job isn't to break the rules. Your job is to sell your stuff.
Pardon me. Hang on. Ooh, God, boy, I don't know why I'm doing that. This takes us to mistake number 7, which is a classic mistake in direct response advertising, and I'm sure a lot of people here will be doing direct response, having too many calls to action.
That's a big problem. And again,
let's define what call to action
okay,
is.
Okay, fine, sure.
Call to action is, to get this, call this number, or to get this, log on to, or to get this, visit us at.
Here's the problem. A lot of people say, to get this now, call, or go to, or look for us at, or come to our store. And what happens, what actually happens, is people don't do anything.
No, that's because too many calls to action leads to something called decision paralysis. And the psychologists, if there are any psychologists on this call, they'll know. Decision paralysis is when you're confronted with too many choices, and it's easier to just make no choice. In fact, where was I reading about this? I think it was one of the Heath Brothers books. It might have been, was it Made to Stick? Or anyway, talking about going into the Gap. Just want to get a pair of jeans. And the options of jeans at the Gap now, you can get this style, this fly, that fly, these colors, and finally he just left because all he wanted was a pair of jeans.
I mean, how many of us have looked at a menu where there's too many options and then closed the menu? Because it's too much. I'd rather do nothing.
No. Now, again, honey doesn't like caveats. I'm going to make this one caveat. If you have a print ad and you have a retail store, it's okay to put your phone number in the ad for the retail store because people will want to call you.
Here's what I'm going to say as far as a visual medium, whether it's a print ad or something online. If you feel that it's important to have your phone number and also have your website or your location, pick the most important one, pick how you want people to contact you, and make that the dominant one. Make that bigger.
But don't ever do it in radio. Almost never do it in TV. You probably don't ever want to do it in email. You know, you want click here in email.
Mine actually had a client that was being successful, and the client forced Blaine to make him unsuccessful.
They actually forced us. We had a retail store that was testing radio, which is one of those things I hate. But it was a test that made sense. We teed it up. I said, look, you know, we can test it this way. You're going to do this great offer and tell people to come into the store to take advantage of this offer this week only. And it worked great. They were like, oh, my gosh, radio works. We're going to do this. And they wanted us, they said, okay, but we want to try it again. It's like, oh boy. Well, okay, we kind of told you we should really only do this for a week. Yeah, you can try it for another week if you want. We don't recommend it. And they were adamant. They were going to put the phone number in the radio commercial. And I said, well, if you put the phone number in the radio commercial, here's what's going to happen. Nobody's going to come in. And they said, yes, but people are calling us. And the logic made no sense because people are calling you despite the fact you have no phone number in the radio commercial. Well, they put the phone number in the radio commercial, and exactly what I said happened. Nobody came into the store. And they said, forget it. Radio doesn't work, and they walked away despite all the money they made the previous week. All that to say, do not do more than one call to action if you can possibly help it.
Yeah, I mean, think about how somebody's going to get in touch with you or how you want them to get in touch with you and go that route.
Lack of a choice forces the interested party to do what you tell them to do.
You know, if somebody wants to look you up online, your business shouldn't be that hard to find online. If you need people to call, then don't be afraid to say the phone number and tell people to call.
Okay, now this led us to bonus mistake number 7A. Do we want to go there?
Oh, yeah.
I
think we need to
hit
this.
It's your pet peeve.
It is my pet peeve, which is why I said yes.
Yeah, all right. Bonus mistake number 7A, trying to compete solely on price. And we cannot stress this enough. Unless your business is a rock-bottom discounter, competing on price is a non-starter. You live in a Walmart world. Walmart is the low-price leader. You cannot beat them.
You know, I mean, and at this point, we've talked about connecting emotionally and making friends and all of that. So everybody should have something to say about themselves other than their price. I mean, at this point, we know all the businesses on this call. And there's a reason to work with all of you, you know, whether it's a service or a product or whatever, that goes beyond what you're charging for what you do.
So that leads us to the end
of the mistakes. I will say this because it makes me crazy. I can think of other mistakes that I want you to avoid. Make sure you go through the Kill Your Advertising material because we hit on a lot of mistakes there, like the challenge with doing comedy, which is a big mistake, and people end up wasting a lot of money on it. And I love comedy, but maybe in your advertising, the best place to do it. But there are other mistakes in there that we talk about that it really would behoove you to hear because at this point you paid for it, so it's not costing you any more money.
All righty. How is everybody?
Fine.
Good, good.
Good, thanks.
A lot more people on the call now.
All right, so who's joined us that we didn't know about since the beginning of the call?
Angie.
Ken Muskell.
Angie.
Ken.
Rocio. Very
Rocio.
Nice.
I was wondering if that was you dropping in and out.
Yes. No, I just dropped in once.
You
didn't know if you were tending to patients.
Well, I was.
Yes, I knew one of those things would be Angie. Okay, so questions on what we just talked about or life in general?
life in general. Hi.
We have a lot of information.
We should have a teleseminar number 4 existential questions we didn't answer during the rest of the teleseminar.
We should have a teleseminar working with your significant other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is Juliana. I have a question.
Okay.
You said YouTube, you should be on it. You're saying we should record ourselves and also have a channel, and which includes showing other people's things on our channel. Is that what you meant also?
No, not necessarily. Yeah, no. Here's how I feel about YouTube. I think it's a great way to showcase what it is you're doing. I mean, just to give you a perfect example, Dr. Sam's Eye Care. Dr. Sam, there isn't a single video on Dr. Sam's video channel that shows anything other than a still image of Dr. Sam. He's done several radio interviews. He has radio commercials. What we did is we just took the audio track, put some static visuals on it, which does not make for gripping video. But people will watch them. because they want to listen to them. And more importantly, what happens is when the web crawlers from Google go out looking for eye care in Claremont, New Hampshire, or whatever other search terms we've optimized for, they will find those videos. And what those videos do is they give Dr. Sam's eye care credibility so that when somebody searches for eye care in Claremont, New Hampshire, he comes up. In fact, I haven't checked lately, but at one point he had almost every listing on page one of Google.
So there are two reasons to be on YouTube, and the one is SEO, as Blaine was just talking about. The other reason is it's an easy way to communicate with people. Now, you can be all kinds of creative and do like your version of the Uber television ad and just put it there. But forgiving worrying about being insanely creative for a moment, it's a moment to just talk to your audience. And for some people, that's really important. Like we do work for an attorney who does civil rights and employment law. And we've talked in the past about what are the fears that stop somebody from coming to you and buying your service. That's a place where you can put those fears aside. And for her, it was a chance to just talk and sound like a person so potential clients could see her and start to like her.
And be comfortable with her, because it's a very uncomfortable situation when you've been fired from a job and you think you need to sue somebody.
Yeah, so for you, Juliana, you're doing something, and you yourself said, you know, once somebody experiences what you're offering, they're in, they're hooked. But until then, you know, it could seem like, oh, is that too new agey for me, or I don't get it, or that's a chance for you to not take a half hour, but take a minute and know that you're talking to somebody who could be a little wigged out about what you do. And be a real person and say, look, this has just helped so many people. I can't not do it.
Now, here's something else I want to, again, the caveat. We are not YouTube marketing experts. If you really want to delve into how to use YouTube to your best advantage, there are definitely ways to find out more about it. What we're talking about is using YouTube as just one component of an overall marketing scheme, you know, that relevant to your brand. So I hope that
I think that
answers the question and probably goes on much longer than you needed.
Which we tend to do. So who else wants to hear us ramble about something?
This is Judith. I had a question.
Okay.
I don't really understand how you find out where your customers are. I mean, you keep repeating that, but I don't know what to do.
Well, how do you find out where your customers are? You have to take into account who they are. Well, who your core customer is, I should say. What does he read? What does he watch? Where does he go?
And for you, because you are starting to deal with some of these people, you can ask them. I mean, just flat out ask them.
You know, there are obviously some kinds of media where they're going to find you. You know, I believe that you've got a heavily Facebook user demographic. And, you know, this is where you have to start getting to things like websites with good SEO and, you know, using Facebook. Cannot emphasize enough the importance of the Facebook page in marketing. It is now one of the top feeders of the web crawlers when it comes to a Google search.
And as far as social media goes, which, again, doesn't cost you anything, put yourself out there and see where they're responding to you. Sometimes it's a surprise. Sometimes you kind of say, yeah, that's what I thought. But you'll start to see, oh, you know what, my users are on Facebook, they're not on Twitter. Or my users are early risers, they're on Twitter in the morning and then I never hear from them in the afternoon. Once you know who you're talking to, you can start to think about what they do in their day and where might they be. You know, like, we live in Park City, and if I wanted to hit Park City Mom, I know that most Park City Mom, pardon? I thought somebody was talking about there. But I know that most Park City Moms work out like animals. I could hit them at the gym. That's just where they are.
Yeah. Here's another thing, too. Trying to find out where your customer is. If you're looking at paid media, that's actually fairly easy to find out, because anybody who's selling advertising has a media kit, and in it you will find a demographic breakdown that explains who's listening to or watching or reading, and what their sex is, what age group they're in, what their income level is.
Yeah, and so if you're considering a radio station, go online, look them up, and download their media kit. Here's my caveat: don't read things with your happy glasses on. Know that they've tried to make themselves sound as good as possible. Mm-hmm. So, take everything with a grain of. But that's in traditional media, that's how you know who they're talking to.
And here's something I'm also going to say about using traditional media is often it's going to be an experiment. We were told for a couple of advertisers, absolutely, these are the right radio stations to be on. So I was like, all right, everyone's saying these are the right ones. The research is backing us up. Let's try it. And we found it absolutely wasn't the right place to be.
Or you can be Matt Wolf and just go to their home. Put a door hanger on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. If you're doing postcards, direct mail, things like that, and if you're dealing with a location, I mean, some people on this call are in a location. Mm-hmm. We have dentists. We have a CPA. That's my guess is that's location-based. Judith, you're in a location. You're going to be in other locations. Is there something that you can do that is very location-oriented?
Okay. I know how to do that kind of stuff. It's just I don't know. I guess I just need to talk to people and ask them. I think that's what
mm-hmm.
I got from what you said.
Yeah, it's going to be boots-on-the-ground kind of research.
Last week Sarah had asked about, how do I know what the habits of these people are, and the answer is to ask them. I mean, you want to ask them in a nice way that doesn't put them down and say, do you really, like, pick your toenails while you're watching TV? I mean, you don't want to ask somebody that. But you can ask people honest questions.
Thanks for putting voice to that.
Thank you. Yeah, well... So now you know what grosses me out. Anyway. Next question.
Do you guys have a good resource for, like, a good mailing list, to get mailing lists for direct mail?
Off the top of my head, no. But we actually know some people who use a lot of mailing lists. Let me do some research and find out who they recommend, if anyone.
Yeah, I mean, Lenora's done it.
Yeah, she's good. I'm also thinking of Mary because she's bought a lot of lists mm-hmm. for Dr. Sam. Good mailing list sources.
And we'll get that out to you.
And who was that, by the way?
This is Rocio.
Okay.
I would like that, too.
Rocio, I will find out about that.
Yeah, Lenora's who we should talk to for Rocio.
Angie would like that, too. I think that's going to be one of my methods.
Okay.
If you could send it to all of us, that'd be great.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. I will post it on a download page. So when I have that information, I'll just send out a mass email. And, I guess I can put it in the email, too, can't I?
I'll do both.
I'll put it in the email and post it on the page. Because I'm a multi-pronged kind of guy. All right. Anyone else?
And, I guess I missed most of the call, but I will... And I will listen to the recording, and I have listened to the other two as well, and over and over. But one of the things that I find is that, I don't know if it's, and I guess maybe we can do this on the consultation as well, but I was trying to figure out my tagline and my core customer. Being a dentist, I feel like I am, it's like broad. Everybody.
And who are we talking
to
now? I'm sorry.
It's Rocio.
This is Rocio. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to figure out my core customer, if you will. I think. I don't know.
Well, I think for you there's two things, because you do have a business and it's going. So it's who's coming to you now? Are you family? Are you high end? Are you mostly moms? I mean, are you a situation like Dr. Sam where it's the mom in your area? And then you have to figure out what the moms in general, mom in your area is like. Or are you saying, I've got this group that's coming, but I really want to hit this other group.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So
I
do you
think
want
that's what
more
it is.
Of what you have?
I do, because that's what's worked. but I don't want to narrow it that for me. I want to kind of expand. So I think that's where I'm having a difficult time, because when I'm thinking of a tagline, I'm thinking I'm all over the place, because I'm thinking, well, maybe I want to do that, or maybe I want to do this.
Okay, here's what I would suggest for before our consultation. Write down a whole bunch of lines. And if you want, categorize them. Say, okay, if I'm sticking with exactly who's coming to me now, and it's mom in my area, Here are taglines for mom in my area. Here's what she needs to hear from a dentist. Here's why I can serve her best, and come up with those taglines. And then think, if I'm going to go broader, and then come up with those taglines. And think, you know what, I'm gonna do this whole other category and come up and just write a bunch of lines, and we're gonna go over everything with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you finished reading Billion Dollar Branding?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
If you may not have gotten to The Dentist with the Angel's Touch. And there's also more dental advertising discussed in Kill Your Advertising. I've actually done a lot of advertising for dentists, and I think maybe some of those examples will help you.
Okay. I'll
dig around and see if I've got any further material, because I've written other material about dental advertising. I'll see if I can and find something for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny when you were saying something about when using humor in your advertising, because I've taken a lot of other kind of branding courses, and some of them actually talk about using humor in your advertising, and I thought it's kind of, you know, it's...
Well, humor is a dangerous thing. Look, it's some categories... you know, alpha male, could you have fun with humor? Of course. Sarah, could you have fun with humor? Yes, you could. I mean, the challenge is there's so many problems with humor. Jokes get old fast.
Yeah, let's make a differentiation between humor and comedy. Because I think what you're probably talking about more, especially in the case of dentists, is comedy really doesn't belong in dental advertising. Because dental comedy often consists of somebody who's thinking they're being funny, making fun of dental pain and how you don't want it. And all it does is make people check out. I mean, they're driving in the car, they hear that, and they hear the power drills start going, and they go, punch, and I'm on to the beautiful music station. Whereas I've used humor in dental advertising to really good effect, and the difference in comedy goes for the cheap laugh, whereas humor engages the heart. So what happens is you actually start hearing things that make you go, yeah, that I'm smiling and I understand that. And like I did a commercial once that was very successful about people who were afraid to go to the dentist and the crazy excuses they would come up with. And one of the reasons that I was able to do that was because I am one of those people. I will come up with all kinds of ridiculous excuses to not go to the dentist. And by treating it humorously, what it did was it attracted those people. Dovetailing it with a gentle dentist, it attracted those people who knew they needed to go to the dentist and would come up with any excuse, and the phone rang.
Well, and also, if humor comes out of something that's real, you know, if it's a moment where we all kind of laugh at ourselves, or there's something that we find that's honest in it, or maybe, you know, it's not a huge laugh, but it's that kind of thing that makes you smile to yourself, then it could be viable. A challenge with humor, one of my biggest challenges with humor, particularly if you're telling a joke, is once I hear the joke, I'm done. I know the punchline. It never makes me want to say, oh, gosh, I just want to hear that again. So I would focus on an honest story, and if there happens to be, you know, just something light in it, that's okay.
This also points to the reason why I've done a lot of dental advertising with testimonials, is because there's nothing that resonates as evocatively and honestly as the voice of a real person telling a real story that matters.
Sure.
You know, and again, we're all hardwired for stories. Stories sell. So, you know, we'll certainly be talking with you more about focusing your brand and your consultation. But, you know, try to finish the book and see if you can figure out a focus that you want to take. And
okay.
We'll work with you on it.
Okay.
And I will see if I can find some more material for you relevant to this particular marketing challenge.
Any other questions?
I just wonder what the next steps are now that our three teleseminars are over.
Okay. perfect question. So definitely before we get into anybody's consultation, make sure you've been through, at the very least, billion-dollar branding. You've done the exercises. You've really considered who you're talking to, what they're about, and what they need to hear from you. I would rather know that than see your list of names. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't, but that's how we're going to know if you're on track. Because if you say your core customer is person A, and then you have a list of names that, boy, we all look at and we're like, gosh, that wouldn't appeal to person A, then we know you're not on the right track. I mean, knowing who you're talking to and how they need to feel is going to be the bar that everything else has to rise to. So make sure you do that work. This is a thoughtful process. We don't do anybody's brand overnight. It would just be doing them a disservice. So
that's all that to say, your brand won't happen overnight either. But
and that's okay. But if you do this thinking now, it will happen. So once you do that, then you start coming up with your crazy long list of names and taglines, and it should be crazy long because so far almost everybody who has sent us thoughts on names and taglines has had a ton of redundancy in them, you know, where it's just rearranging.
That's not to say redundancy shouldn't be there. It does need to be there. It needs to be there along with all the other stuff.
But that's why your list is going to be long because you just have to get it out. And then schedule your consultation with us. And before, once we get into scheduling your consultation, we're going to ask you for some more materials, and we're going to review everything you send us. So once we get on the phone with you, we're as informed as possible, and we can give you as much help as we possibly can to get you going down the right road. Now, after I've said that, I will say this, and I actually think it's a good thing. Our schedule is full through the 26th of this month. So we're not going to do consultations before then. And that's going to give you time to do some of the work. Now, you could take a couple months to do your work. It's up to you. It depends where you are with your business. Some people have things happening in their business, so it's got to happen sooner. Some people's businesses are evolving, so maybe it will make sense to take a little time and take a couple months. That's up to you. There, I said it.
Everybody heard the 26th and went,
ah! I know, it's a hot panic.
It's really only 2.5 weeks away. So.
Yeah, I mean, you can, look, I mean, people have been sending us lists of names. You can send us lists of names. I'm not saying that you're not going to hear back from us, but we're not going to do a consultation before that.
So we can keep interacting with you by email until then.
Wait, that was somebody who was happy and somebody who wasn't. What was that?
I'm happy.
Okay.
Rocio is happy because I need all the time.
No. This is for- yeah, absolutely. Take your time. You started this just a little bit after everybody else. Really think about it. You made me nervous when you said you wanted to get broader. So please know that if you focus your message to a person, that you're not negating the chance that other people will come to you. It's just going to help you decide how you're talking to the world. By talking to one person, you will resonate with more people, I promise.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. And yes, you, like I said, you can send us emails, and we will do our best to get back to you in a timely manner. But there's definitely some travel days in there where we're just, you're not going to hear from us.
Actually, even on travel days, you'll probably hear from us.
Well, you might, yeah.
We are inveterate email responders.
But, you know, I would rather, you know, under-promise and over-deliver.
Yeah.
So, you read everything you send us.
And as always, this should be posted by tomorrow afternoon, this recording. And if you have any more questions.
Can I ask a question, just Juliana? I noticed that I'm having, and like I said, I deal with people who are stuck, and I'm stuck with this stuff. But part of me feels...
How poetic.
Part of me feels like I'm afraid to commit to a name, because what if in a few years it's outdated or whatever? How long are these names supposed to last for us?
I mean, ideally, they would just last. That would just be your name. Does that mean that... I mean, you know, everything changes. The world evolves, sensibilities change, and, you know, everything's got an element of fashion to it. I refresh logos a lot, not that I completely change them, but, you know, typefaces go out of fashion. But I will give you some props. Juliana sent us something that we loved, and I don't even know that you realized how good it was. I mean, she's dealing with forgiveness and helping people learn how to forgive themselves and move forward. And she called forgiveness the other F word, and I will never forget it. I think it's brilliant. If it's not the title of a book, it should be.
Yeah, you know, as far as things going out of date, you know, one of the things that worries people is, oh, well, you know, gosh, I've used my own name in the business. That what happens when I sell it? It hasn't stopped Dr. Beauchamp's Western Dental in Southern California from having dozens of offices, despite the fact that Dr. Beauchamp has been dead for like 50 years.
So, you know, I mean, we'll talk to all of you about this, but at some point you have to commit. You have to rip off the Band-Aid, because if you can't commit, your audience isn't going to be able to commit to you.
You know, just another point about a name that probably isn't relevant. You know, there's no more Dr. Beauchamp. Motel 6 was called Motel 6 because it cost $6 a night. It hasn't cost $6 a night in decades.
Oh, okay.
You know, things will change and, you know, be not as relevant as they were. Things may go out of fashion. You know, sometimes you have to tweak a name to make it a little more fashionable. Sometimes you just go, oh, what the heck, and you plow forward and continues to work. Once in a while, somebody changes everything, like Dr. Sam. You know, it's a scary process. You use the C word. Commitment scares the crap out of people. That's the other C word. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Go forward anyway. If you're not a little nervous, you're not doing it right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the answer.
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually had forgotten that. Yeah, if it doesn't make you nervous, something's wrong.
Yeah, you should be a little nervous. A little nervous is good.
Okay.
All right. I know we'll be speaking to all of you, and we've really appreciated all the questions and all the communications. This really has been a great group, really great group. And so we're going to keep this going individually now.
So with that, have a fabulous evening, and keep branding big.
Brand big.
This has been 7 Mistakes to Avoid, the third in the Big Bad Branding Teleseminar series. Copyright 2013 by Blaine and Honey Parker, all rights reserved.